Florida State falls 27-24 in what was another poor showing and, frankly, another disappointing chapter in the Mike Norvell era at Florida State. And I just want to come to you guys and bring you some thoughts after this game. So what's up, No Nation? I'm Jesse from Plant the Spear. Thank you for joining me. I had some time to sleep on it last night. I wanted to get on here and probably would have crashed out a little bit, but it was 2 o'clock in the morning. It was hot. We were tired. I was mad then. I'm going to be honest. Like, I'm really just not mad, right? I mean, I'm pissed off for sure, but like, I'm not mad. I'm just more disappointed than anything. But it's like when your parents say, like, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. That's how I feel with this program right now. That's how I feel with Mike Norvell. Like, how can you can be mad in the moment, but how can you be mad at something that has been a 2-year trend? 4 out of 6 years, this has been the trend, and yet they allow this to continue to happen. So, like, I was mad last night, but I needed to sleep on it and kind of wake up with a fresh start. And it doesn't feel any better in the morning. But, you know, man, when I look at that game last night, I told you guys on the last show, on the preview show, I said, look, if you go out and you beat SMU, no one will care about how bad that week zero opener looked. But if you lost to SMU, that would have been, and you looked the same way, that would have been exactly who you were. It wasn't that, oh, we were shaking the rust off. We had these things to do to work on with the 8 days that you had. We saw significant improvement. That's not what happened last night. This was the same team we saw in week zero against New Mexico State. The same busted coverages, the same offensive line problems, the same lack of pressure by the defense. It was just a piss poor showing in Doak last night. And somehow, in the most Mike Norvell way possible, Florida State hung around in this game and had a chance to win it. But, you know, I think when you kind of go back to the New Mexico State game, right, where we talked about the box score didn't really tell the whole story, right? If you just looked at that game, you're like, okay, well, it's probably closer than it should have been, but they won by 3 scores, you know. But if you didn't watch the game, you didn't see the warts that showed up in that contest. And then that's the same way last night. Like, if you just woke up this morning because, you know, maybe you didn't wait through the power outage that we had, which was already a disaster, to start things off, you probably would have seen 27-24 and been like, okay, wow, they played pretty close. That doesn't indicate what that game looked like last night. SMU wrapped that, put it on a silver platter, put a bow on that thing, and tried to hand deliver you. They put it on the Pony Express and delivered you a game to take from them, and you still could not do it. You still shot yourself in the foot enough. You still could not win that game, and you looked terrible. You looked just like the team that we saw last week against New Mexico State. And that is the thing that's disappointing, because now you have to go to Alabama in 2 weeks, right? And you had all offseason to fix these things. Do you just randomly think that they're going to fix all of these problems in 2 weeks when you had 8 months to work on this stuff and couldn't fix it? So I don't know, man. It's all around just not a good feeling right now with the way this game and this program looks. The Boo Birds were out last night. There were Fire Norvell chants walking out of Doak. I mean, the apathy is at an all-time high. I mean, 2024 felt really bad. I almost feel like it's worse right now, because you could have at least tied that to, like, oh, the snub, you know, oh, the roster turnover, all the guys that left in the draft and things like that. This just feels like who you are. Like, you can't excuse this in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, starting from the top, obviously we had a long delay with a power outage, which was kind of crazy. I mean, you know, and then like, I'm not dishing on this, but, you know, Osceola and Renegade plant the spear at the middle of the field. It falls over onto the ground. It's just like there's so many little things with this program over the last few years that just seem like unnecessary losses that you don't have to take. And it's just one after another. And it's just so tired tiring seeing those things. Now, that being said, I do want to give a shout out to Noll Nation and the crowd, because, you know, there for a while, like, yes, the boos came out. Yes, all that stuff. And rightfully so. I mean, it's deserved. But I thought Doak had some juice last night, right? I tweeted that out at one point in the game on a couple of third downs. You know, there was a lot of them, and they got most of them. But There was a lot of energy in that place last night. The crowd was pretty loud considering everything that happened before the game. And so I actually want to give credit to Noel Nation for that, because the fans deserve better, man. I mean, they're showing up for this team. I don't know what that Central Arkansas game is going to look like, especially if you lose against Alabama. There's not going to hardly be anybody in the stands for that game, I doubt. But, I mean, they keep showing up, and they keep getting let down, and it's just painful, man. It's painful to have to sit through things like that. I mean, Mike Norvell now falls to 3-14 in his last 17 ACC games, 8-18 overall in the last 2 years. And it just feels like, you know, when I look at the schedule, and we'll talk about the game as well, of course, but, you know, when you look at the schedule and the way this team plays, find me more than 3 to 4 wins on this schedule right now. I mean, of course, you'll beat Central Arkansas. Boston College looks terrible. If you're still invested, you can win that game. But, you know, Virginia looks really good. Louisville took a top 10 Ole Miss team, you know, to the buzzer the other night. Maybe Clemson, who got destroyed, but that's the team that showed last year that they didn't quit. So, I mean, it's one of those situations where I don't know that I can find more than about 3 wins on this schedule. And sadly, because I'm a Florida State fan and I love this program and this team, I hate to see them win 3 games. Maybe it's better in the long run, because maybe it finally does get us a new coach, because I just don't think you can let this go on any longer. I think this is the beginning of the end for Mike Norvell. I said that before this game. If you lose this one, it's pretty much mandatory that you beat Alabama and Virginia to save your job. And I just don't see that happening. I mean, when we talk about this game last night, Florida State gave up 585 yards last night, over 300 yards in the first half alone. You gave up 8.7 yards per play. You got outgained by 261 yards. They went 3 of 4 in the red zone, 8 of 14, 57% on third down. Their average distance on third down was 7.1 yards. Their average gain on third down, 13.3 yards. I looked it up this morning. You are 132nd in the country in third down conversion percentage by the defense. It's just piss poor defense. And I mean, there are things like, there are screenshots that are out there. Most of you guys saw it last night, where it's 3rd and 1 and we're lined up 8 or 9 yards off the ball in the secondary. It's 3rd and 6 and we're lined up 3 yards behind the first down sticks, and then backpedaling when they hike the ball. It's not like you're playing the sticks and pushing forward and pressuring the DBs. You're just giving them these free underneath completions, and it's just killing you. I mean, Jennings last night had a season high 430 yards, career high 430 yards, 3 touchdowns, 72% completion percentage. I mean, that's just ridiculous numbers. And the problem is, you know, people look back at last week and they go, well, man, that New Mexico State quarterback just played really good. Like, maybe that's just part of it. It's not that the quarterback plays really good. It's every quarterback against us looks like a Heisman contender. And that is just the freaking case, man. Like, it's not that the one guy played out of his mind in one game. It's you're going to see this every single game. And you've seen this last year until they figure this secondary out. Because, again, man, that secondary is such an unmitigated disaster. It's not like Florida State is forcing tough completions and throwing into tight windows. They are wide open on 90% of these catches that they're making. I mean, again, Randy Pittman for the touchdown, wide open, half of these players. And really, truthfully, the funny thing is, like, you look at the yards that they got, there was a lot more that was left out there on the field that was wide open that they just missed for one reason or the other. So, I mean, that secondary is so – I don't even want to say bad. They just are lost. Like, I don't know. It's got to be on coaching. Because I just don't – you can't tell me that there's not some talent back there, right? You can't tell me that Jabril Rawls, we haven't seen him play better than this. You can't tell me that we haven't seen Quindarius Jones play better than this. It's got to be coaching, because they just look lost out there. Like, they don't know where to be. They don't know where to line up. And the scheme is, frankly, trash on defense. It's just painful to watch. Now, that being said, I will give credit to the linebackers. So, you know, surprisingly, last year, the linebackers were the worst position group on the defense. This year, I think they're by far the best. Chris Jones, Caleb LaValle, and Makai Baylor are the bright spots of this defense. They actually look pretty darn decent, in my opinion. And so, you know, that is one positive that you can take away from that. Now, the defensive line continues to just be a non-factor. Mandrell Desir didn't record a single stat last night. I mean, Darryl Desir didn't play, and he had as many stats as Mandrell Desir. I mean, they fleeced you for money in the offseason, for sure. I mean, because they have not earned that. I mean, Daniel Lyons had a couple of tackles. He was actually showed up more this week than he did last week. But where's Rylan Kennedy? Like, where are all these defensive linemen? Where's Kevin Wynn? Like, what's he doing? I mean, we just get nothing out of this defensive line. So that's tough, too. I mean, when you watched that defense last night, it's just a disaster. Almost 600 yards, over 300 in the first half. I saw a stat today on X that Florida State allowed over 550 yards from 1995 to 2019. Three times. Under Mike Norvell, it's been five times. How do you explain this stuff? I mean, the thing is, like, I keep saying, like, Mike Norvell, you know, when you talk about his tenure at Florida State, and I do believe it is coming to a close sooner than later, or at least it should, you know, he didn't help himself, right? He dug the hole, he bought the coffin, he scheduled the service, but Tony White's hammering the nails in. Because he chose this defensive coordinator, right? And I'm not saying – the crazy thing is that, like, Tony White was a good defensive coordinator at Nebraska, but this is who Mike Norvell chose. I mean, you think – like, he went to the Big Ten and hired a defensive coordinator. Mario Cristobal went out and hired Corey Heatherman, also out of the Big Ten from Minnesota. And look at the difference in these two defenses. Now, granted, I know they got some dudes that maybe we don't, but this is just – this is not – it's not working at all on defense. And then when you talk about the offense – the picture doesn't get much prettier there, right? Florida State went 2 of 15 on third downs last night. You got outgained by 261 yards. Thank goodness for those running backs, the two of them that played. We'll talk about the third one in a minute. But thank goodness for those guys, or otherwise you would have no offense. I mean, I thought it was good to see Ashton Daniels run the ball a little bit more last night. But, guys, we're basically Army. We're basically Georgia Tech of the old school. Like, we are a triple option team at best at this point because we refuse to throw the ball. Or it's like my guy Ronnie said, like, we're actually a single option team because we don't even have the triple option threat to look out for. And even Georgia Tech back in the day with the triple option had Megatron. Like, this has been it's not a good season for Deuce. So far, I can tell you that. I mean, this is probably not helping his mission to be a first-round draft pick or anything like that. I mean, even a couple plays late there in the fourth quarter, like, he wasn't even paying attention when the ball came his way. It was just – and I don't know if that's on Daniels. I don't know if that's on Deuce. I don't know if that's on both. But the offense was a terrible showing, too. Like, you refuse to throw the ball. You don't – or maybe they're calling throw pass plays, and Ashton Daniels just is not pulling the trigger when he's told to. You know, maybe on RPOs, there's no P option available. I just don't understand it. And the thing is, the play calling was so predictable. It was run, 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 get into an obvious passing down. Your offensive line can't protect, get sacked or run for your life, throw it out of bounds, whatever the case may be. I mean, it was, he went 12 of 23 for 125 yards, one touchdown, 52% completion percentage. He looks like DJU. He looks slow. He looks scared to commit to either running or throwing the ball. And you know what's crazy to me about this whole situation with Ashton Daniels is, like, how do you see a guy put up the numbers he did against Vanderbilt at Auburn last year and then follow that up by putting up those same type of numbers against an Alabama defense last year and then come out and look like this? Like, DJU was not that bad at Oregon State and came here and looked worse. Why is this the Bermuda Triangle of quarterbacks? Like, you cannot explain how people come here and just continue to get worse. Like, Jordan Travis is the only quarterback that has ever stepped foot in Tallahassee and actually improved. Tommy, you know, he wasn't great at Boston College, but he certainly didn't get better here. Ashton Daniels looks way worse than he did at Auburn. And then DJU got considerably worse. And I understand there's offensive line problems, there's receiver problems that go with that. But he looks terrible. I mean, honestly, I think you probably, and this is my personal opinion, I think you roll with him for Alabama because I don't want Malachi Marshall to get physically hurt. And then I think Central Arkansas, if you see the same thing out of Daniels that he, tonight or last night, that you, and that happens again against Bama, I think you have to make the switch. I think you have to put in Malachi Marshall. I think you have to have a guy who has the gall to actually pull the trigger and throw the ball. Because, I mean, you look at Deuce and Danzy last night combined for 4 catches for 43 yards and no touchdowns. Randy Pittman alone, a guy you let walk out of your roster and go to Dallas, had 5 catches for 75 yards and a touchdown last night. Why did you bring back? Why did you pay all that money to Deuce? Why did you make it a point to bring back Danzy? Why did you, why do you have Boggs? Why do you have Jason Lopez, who, by the way, I don't even think gets a chance on offense? If you're not going to throw to him, it just makes no sense, man. Now, the one positive I will say from the offense, which came from a negative, is Chimdia at right tackle did eventually get benched after giving up a bad sack. And I think they brought in Paul Bowling at guard. They kicked Nate Papps out to tackle. And I thought the offensive line, they did not do good last night, but they did better with that group of 5 than they did before. So I think that's going to be your answer going forward. You just cannot put Chimdia back out there. You just can't. And so hopefully maybe with them getting a little bit more reps together, that will help going forward. But the problem is, truthfully, you got the quarterback problem. Like, he's just not good so far. He doesn't trust what he sees. He doesn't trust himself to make the throws. Norvell doesn't trust him to throw the ball because he's obviously not calling it in the way that he should. And it's tough, man. It's tough to watch this offense. The play calling is terrible. The fourth down play call was a real head scratcher. Like, I'm not necessarily mad at you going for it there, but you got to know you can't block them. You would run into loaded boxes repeatedly because it's the only offense you have. And then there's a couple times where you see a 4 or 5 man box and then you choose to throw it. Like, is anybody paying attention to the defense when you make a play call? Like, I don't understand it. And it looks the same for the offense. It's just an unmitigated disaster right now. And I'm sorry for, like, coming on here and just sounding super negative and harping on this team like this. But what else am I supposed to say? I mean, what else are you supposed to say about this performance that we're seeing? Like, there are people, you know, who kind of, like, I made a little bit of a spicy post on social media. Most of you guys probably saw last night. Look, I think it's over. I think it's done. This team looks bad, and I think you need to fire Mike Norvell today. But it won't happen. But at some point this season, you have to get rid of him because this is a proud program, and you need to act like it. You need to find the money. LSU found the money. First game went and beat Clemson by 40 points, right? 41 points. Penn State found the money. Now, granted, theirs was a different situation. Maybe they shouldn't have fired James Franklin. They beat the pants off Marshall. I know it's Marshall. We'll see how that plays out, but they looked good. If you want to be the program that you say you want to be, if Michael Alford wants to say we have all the resources to win championships, it's the standard. You got to find the money because this is not it, right? Even looking at that game last night, like, SMU is the only FBS or NFL team in the last 30 years to be -3 or worse in turnover margin, twice as many penalties as their opponent, fewer rushing yards than their opponent, lower time of possession than their opponent, and more missed field goals than their opponent, and yet still win the game. They shot themselves in the foot so many times, they don't have feet left, and yet they still walked out of Doak with a victory. I don't understand it. I think, you know, Michael texted me last night and said that I think teams that were -4 in turnover margin were a combined 1-40. Now they're 2-40. You can't win the games that are gifted to you. What are you going to do? Like, if SMU had played really well, and to be honest, like, the punt, that was a muffed punt. I mean, it was a good kick, you know, the tornado kick or whatever they call it, by the punter. But, like, you didn't necessarily force that. I mean, it was good that they had it. But, like, if they had not have played so sloppy, they probably would have beat you by 20. I mean, for sure. That's just how bad that team played last night. And yet still, Florida State could not capitalize and win because they didn't play as ugly, but they didn't play good either, right? Going back to my main point, like, I just think this is the beginning of the end. I think you got to move on from Mike Norvell if you ever want to get back to the standard that this program set for itself, right? There were some people in my comment section that got, mad at me or tried to defend what you're seeing right now in Tallahassee. And, like, if that's the kind of fan you are, I'm not going to tell you how to fan. You do whatever you want to do. But this program, Bobby Bowden spent the better part of 40 years building a standard at Florida State. And I know the way Jimbo's tenure ended wasn't great. He came in and upheld that standard, won 10 games all seasons, but I think won a national championship, multiple ACC championships. That program, that standard was upheld. You fired Willie Taggart, stood at the podium and said, 6-6, frankly, is not good enough. But 8-18 is good enough. 4 losing seasons out of the last 6 years is good enough. If you want to be the program that you say you are, and you want to hold yourself to the standard that you say this program has, and it does have that, but it doesn't if you keep letting this happen, you have got to make a change because this is not working. Guys, we are 7 years in. And to the people who don't like that, and I know most of you are going to understand where I'm coming from. Again, I'm not trying to be mad or emotional. I'm just disappointed because I'm traumatized now, right? Like, I've been here in the same Airbnb that I'm in Tallahassee after the Boston College game in 2024. I got on here. I was almost speechless. I didn't really know what to say. I just kind of like poured my emotions out to you guys. And a lot of you guys related with that. I've been mad before on some post games. I've ripped Mike before. I'm almost numb to the pain now, because this is just what you expect. Like, we talked about that before going into the game with a lot of the people at our tailgate. Like, you know, under Bobby Bowden, under even Jimbo Fisher for most of the years, like, I don't care if they made an all-star team of every of the other 135 teams in FBS. You would go into that game feeling like you had a chance. You walk into a game again, you're nervous in a game against New Mexico State under Mike Norvell. You are nervous to play Wake Forest inside Doak Campbell Stadium. Like, how embarrassing is that? And so, I mean, to the ones who want to rip me for saying things like that, when you look at the numbers, Mike Norvell is 39-35 overall. If you take out that one glorious season that he had, he's 26-34, 22-27 overall in the ACC, 25-16 at home, 10-17 in true road games, 4-2 at neutral sites. He gave us the first ever loss to an FCS team in Jacksonville State, the first ever loss to Duke in football. He lost to Memphis at home, the worst loss in bowl history, 0 top 10 classes. We've had 2 bowl appearances in 6 seasons. Since the start of 2024, he's 8-18 overall, 3-14 in the ACC, 0-9 in true road games. How is that good enough at Florida State? That's what I want to know. And for anyone who disagrees with that, if you're watching on YouTube, go in the comments and let me hear your argument, because I would love to hear it, because there is no way you can say this is a proud program, a program that has won 3 national championships, a program that has won 16 ACC championships, 3 Heisman winners, a program that belongs in the playoff conversation and the Charlotte conversation for the ACC championship every single year. You cannot hear what I just read you and think that's okay. And last night was another piece of sand on the scale that weighs against Mike Norvell. And now you have to go to Bryant Denny in 2 weeks against a program that has lost 1 game in 2 years in that stadium under Kalen DeBoer by 2 points to a team that made the playoffs. They're going to crush your skull in that game if you do not make miraculous improvements in 2 weeks. But again, you didn't improve this week. What makes you think in 2 weeks it's going to be much better? It's just a bad feeling. It's a sick feeling this morning, waking up to what this program has become and watching that team last night. I know it was only a 3-point loss. I know that was the spread. I understand that. But, you know, you look at SMU and they came out and they, you know, the reason I thought Florida State had a chance to win this game was because exactly what I said in the pregame show is where I was like, you hope they come out and have the game that you did against New Mexico State and play sloppy on the road. And guess what? That's exactly what they did. And you still couldn't take it from them when they were handing it to you. I don't know what else to say. I was talking with somebody last night, how do you preview that Alabama game? Welcome to the show. I hope we don't get killed. See y'all next week. What are you supposed to say to that? I hope, and hope ain't a strategy. I hope they figure something out because I'm tired of watching this program be like this. I love this program. I love this university. I just want to see it be better. That's all I want. And I don't think it's ever going to happen under Mike Norvell. I don't think it's ever going to happen with Tony White as your defensive coordinator. I want wholesale changes. I've said this before. The guy who dumps the trash cans in the football-only facility, you don't have to fire him. You can reassign him to somewhere else. Top to bottom, you have got to wipe the slate clean and start over because it is done. There is not going to come back from this. Maybe he proves me wrong. Maybe I can come on here and eat crow or something like that. But I think going into that Louisville game, you're going to be 2-5, the bye week between Miami and Clemson, I think you're going to be 2-5. And I think they are finally going to have to fire Mike Norvell. So I don't know, guys. That's just where I'm feeling right now. Again, this is not an emotional response. This is a I've had time to sleep on it and think about it response. I'm just disappointed. I'm just so disappointed in what they have allowed to happen. You should have never started this season with Mike Norvell as your head coach. You should have never started a redemption season, a referendum season with Ashton Daniels as your quarterback. Not that he couldn't be good, because somehow every quarterback that comes to Tallahassee gets worse, but not that he couldn't be good. But man, I don't get it, right? Your GM wins an ACC championship at Duke because you paid up for Darian Mensah. And then you come to Tallahassee and all of a sudden you say, we don't think we need to pay up for a quarterback. And look at what you get. I just don't understand. You don't prioritize the trenches, so you're ineffective on both sides. Teams can just do what they want at will. I don't know, man. This ain't the answer, and I don't see a path to it getting better without bringing in the new staff. And that's just where I'm at. And maybe that's a new AD. Maybe that's some other changes. I don't know. But this just isn't working, and you got to try something different. So I think I'm going to wrap it up here. Obviously, we'll try and get our hands on the film. Not that you probably even want to watch that. I mean, because that might be – I don't know that we can put that on YouTube because it might get banned for being R-rated or something like that, watching that, because it was just bad, man. But, of course, we'll be back with you guys. We're not taking the bye week off. We're not going anywhere. We're going to be around, of course. Michael will be back on Friday for our Road to Saturday show. I appreciate the people that I saw in and around Doak that came up and said something. Again, we are an outlet for the fans, right? For the fans, by the fans. And so that's why, I can come on here and say these things because I'm saying this as a fan. I'm sure most of you probably feel the same way. I have no credentials to pull. I buy my tickets. I go to the games. I sit in the stands. I watch this. And I feel what you guys feel. And so that's why I'm just telling you how I feel about this. And so I appreciate the ones that come up and say something to me. I had a nice conversation with a gentleman walking out of Doak last night, said he's been down since the beginning. So I really, really appreciate that. So if you're watching this, shout out, my man. I really do appreciate that. So again, guys, I don't know that there could be a much better timed bye week than right now. So Florida State does not play on Saturday. They will pick things back up September 19th in Bryant-Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa against Alabama in a game that feels pretty much hopeless. I don't know, man. Can they put this dumpster fire out in 2 weeks? I don't know, because if teams are playing bad and you're barely winning, if teams start playing good, you're in trouble. And Alabama, I mean, we'll watch them against Kentucky, and see how they look. But Virginia already looks good. That Louisville team looks pretty darn good. I mean, Pitt looks really darn good. So we're gonna have to wait and evaluate and continue to gather data on the other teams. But right now, through the two games that we have on film for Florida State, it's not looking good, man. And so I don't know how fast you can fix that. I don't know how much of it is fixable because we saw a lot of these problems last year. But that's where we're at. I mean, I can't sugarcoat it. There's nothing to sugarcoat. It is what it is, right? Maybe Malachi Marshall comes in and is the savior of the offense and actually throws the football. I don't know. Maybe you fire Tony White midseason and let Ernie Sims call the defense. But I think I don't know that Mike Norvell gets that opportunity, right? I don't think he does. I think if you're going to fire your DC midseason, you're going to fire him too, right? I don't think he's afforded that opportunity. I don't know, man. I mean, hey, the field goal kicker looks pretty good. There's that. I just don't know, guys. So I think I'm going to wrap it up here. Again, I appreciate everybody watching. We'll have Michael's game wrap up at plantthespear.com before too long. I have to travel back home today. And then, of course, we'll be with you guys with content the rest of the week. So make sure you check us out at plantthespear.com. If you're watching this, make sure you on YouTube, drop a like and subscribe. Rate and review on the podcast. We appreciate you guys watching. And again, we're gonna weather the storm together one way or the other and just hope for better days on the other side of it. But again, I think last night, as I said before the game, was the beginning of the end for Mike Norvell. And I have tried and tried and tried to give him the benefit of the doubt. And I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. So I hope that's what happens, because I want this program to get better. And I think that's the only way it happens. So stick with us, guys, and we'll stick with you. And we'll see you on the other side. As always, go Noles.